Morning, thank you very much for allowing us to present our study. I have no financial relationships to disclose. As you probably aren't aware, Portugal is the third largest country in Europe in terms of HIV infection. Only two small Baltic countries, Lithuania and Estonia, have a higher incidence of HIV in Portugal. And in our country, the AIDS epidemic was mainly driven by injecting drug use. But now, as you can see here, there is a general decrease in different modes of transmission, except for the incidence of infection among MSM, that now amounts for almost one quarter of the cases, while male MSM represent only 3% of the population of males. As we already heard this morning, there are at least three important studies that show that Truvada, the combination drug with tenofovir and tricitabine, has been really effective in decreasing the occurrence of HIV infection when used as pre-exposure prophylaxis. And very recently, just two or three weeks ago, the French and Canadian study was stopped because of the good results that they found after what was seen in the UK. And as you can see here, also there are different options on the way to use it on a daily basis, on demand. So there are different, and injecting will be also, as we heard also this morning, another option. So we were very much interested in knowing regarding the Portuguese or MSM living in Portugal, how many of them would be eligible for this type of preventive approach as a way of trying to change the country epidemic. The setting I would like to describe it to you, we have in Lisbon a walk-in community-based center called Checkpoint Lisbon. There are a few others in Europe, in Amsterdam, in Barcelona, where they are mainly directed to the MSM population. They are run by peer councils, and they provide free services regarding testing, counseling, and they also provide, or at least give a lot of help regarding linkage to care for HIV-positive people. The aims of this community-based service are to promote testing, especially directed to people that usually doesn't use the healthcare, the public healthcare system. Portugal has a universal free national health service, but anyhow there are financial and other sorts of barriers that make people make things difficult for certain people. So the idea is to promote diagnosis, to increase health literacy, especially sexually health-related literacy, and also to help to monitor the frequency of these infections. Based on this facility, we launched a cohort of HIV-negative MSM that we are following since April 2011. The aims are similar, but we want to study the trends in the frequency of infections, to know how people is dealing with the traditional or other preventive measures, and also to act as a decentralized surveillance structure. The study was approved by an ethical commission and by the National Protection National Commission for Data Protection. All participants give written informed consent. The recruitment is done at the first visit to Checkpoint, and there is a lot of publicity among the socializing and cruising sites for MSM. And as you know here, it's a cohort of males, aged adult males, that are HIV negative, and they accept to be followed around. The schedule is every 6 months, but of course it's relatively loose. During the study period, and these figures are larger than those we provide in the abstract, there were more than 3,000 eligible participants, so men who have sex with men, adults, HIV negative, but as you see here, some refused, around 30% refused to participate, so we only got information, a large amount of information, to the 70% that accepted to be enrolled in this cohort. And it is among these that we tried to measure the proportion of those that would be eligible for PrEP. As you can see here, we evaluated using two distinct sets of criteria, one from the New York State Department of Health AIDS Institute, and the other very recently released from the CDC. They are not exactly, they don't overlap exactly, but as you can see here, the proportion, and that's the main result of, we found, is around 80% of our MSM participants would be eligible, regardless of the type of criteria, for the use of PrEP. And as you can see here, there is a very small, less than 6% of the sample didn't match completely. So it doesn't matter the type of criteria in the end we are using, although we applied U.S. criteria to a Portuguese population. We tried to see if there were some characteristics of participants that would allow us to kind of forecast the eligibility independent of this criteria. But as you can see here, age, education, country of origin, job situation doesn't matter that much, except for those with very basic levels of education that have an increased probability of being among those that are eligible. So we need other criteria to select people or to propose them the prophylaxis. And as we are working on a test-based facility, we try to see if the reasons why people walk in for testing have something to do with eligibility, or to a certain extent could validate this type of classification. And as you can see here, in fact, it did, because eligibility was significantly higher, the odds favoring to be eligible when people had done many tests, self-perception of recent exposure to risk, a partner recently disclosed or diagnosed with HIV, and the other way around, I'm sorry, cannot see it well, people that come for tests because they have an accident with a condom, meaning that they use the condom, those were had the less often characteristics to be eligible, so things are working as expected. And a different way of validating this classification was to look at the incidence of infection according to being characterized as eligible or non-eligible. Although the study period is relatively, I mean, it's small, not relatively, it's in fact small. Anyhow, you can see that those that were characterized based on their characteristics on recruitment as eligible for PrEP had a higher incidence of HIV during the follow-up period. So we need to recognize some of the limitation of this study. It's a facility-based study, so it's not representing the overall MSM population. We only got information for those that accept to participate, and we know that those that refused are different in certain characteristics. We didn't ask for acceptability or adherence. I mean, the fact that people is eligible doesn't mean they are going to use it. But a small street-based intercept survey done during a parade in Lisbon, we also had parades not only here in New Orleans, show that relative large proportion of people would accept it, to would like to use it, although the awareness about PrEP was very low among this population. Of course, that we use the eligibility criteria that necessarily do not apply to our population, but anyhow, it seemed to be very universal. The number of people eligible would be obviously lower because it didn't take care of, namely, medical contraindications for the use of PrEP, and of course, it didn't model the influence of other preventive measures. Anyhow, we think that we can say, at least in our population, it seems true in other populations, a very large proportion of MSM are eligible for PrEP, and we think it's critical to think about the way to put it in practice, because as you probably know, the manufacturer of Truvada is not seem not to be interested in asking for the authorization to use it, at least in Europe, until now. I would like just to acknowledge my other co-authors and people working in Checkpoint Lisbon. Thank you.
We have plenty of time left for questions, so please, if you have questions, please just come to the podium and
for a great presentation. So I would like to ask the presenters for the PrEP data if you have some data regarding the cost effectiveness of this as being offered as, a, as an option, and if this is more recommended, say, for example, for countries who don't have a better prevention in HIV infections, or it's worldwide. And for the Roger Darvis, if is the anti in the damage reduction programs, did you see that they could implement a test for viral load or something that would help to keep track of the others? And how, if you look at your study, your meta-analysis, how the RID were provided, if they were free or cost
of the participants, would that make a difference for thank you, Ruby. So in terms of cost effectiveness, we ourselves have not looked at cost effectiveness studies of, for example, for this long-acting injectable agent, though that's something we're thinking about doing, and obviously a very important question. The long-acting formulation should not be radically expensive. There are other injectable formulations, monoclonal antibodies that are being developed that are expected to be quite expensive to produce. But the long-acting formulations of the two ARVs that are being developed do not have to be expensive. Their production costs are not expensive. What the price will be set at, of course, we have no idea. I think in terms of the use for PrEP overall, I personally don't know any settings where the current prevention modalities for men who have sex with men are working. I mean, condoms work if you use them, but from the epidemic that we see really globally, and particularly in China, something's not working. So I think the U.S. seems to have been a leader in this case in recommending the use of daily oral PrEP. But it is the only country to date, as far as I know, that has those recommendations. And so, why that is, I'm not sure.
Well, in Portugal, we are now we are waiting for our data on incidence to have a better picture of the cost. In Portugal, antiretrovirals are really expensive. I can tell you that. Well, almost all our population of HIV positive people is on treatment now. So it means about 30,000 persons, not 10 million inhabitants country. But 1 year to Truvada would cost around $4,500. So even if you fight for lower price, what we should do, and we try to do, but we have all these rules in the European Union, as you know. So it's very expensive. The fact that it can be used on demand could increase the price. That could be a very nice option. But as you said, and I completely agree, we cannot find real good solutions to fight the epidemic among MSMs, at least in Europe. It's increasing in most countries. So we desperately need new options, and this could be one.
With respect to these studies and the viral load testing, basically none of the studies had viral load testing. It's still too expensive in these countries. Hopefully that can change in the near future, and that providing people feedback on their viral load might be an important way of improving adherence in health behavior in general. If you can give people feedback on how they're doing, it tends to improve their adherence, their behavior. In terms of cost to the patients, I think in almost all of these countries, the drugs were provided at no cost through the government or through international donors and such. So the cost was not a limiting factor in providing ART to these drug users. It wasn't a limiting factor to the drug user. It was obviously a limiting factor to the national government.
My name is Lakshmi Gopraj, I'm at Georgetown University. I am also conducting research on PrEP among women in the U.S. And what we've learned in our study, we also included HIV-positive women because they come from the same communities and they will be influencing the decisions of the HIV-negative women. So one, I wanted to ask if either of you, in your studies, included HIV-positive people. Did you find out their opinion? And secondly, did you ask them why would they take PrEP rather than using condoms, which are cheaper, easily accessible, and without medical complications? Whereas PrEP has side effects. I was wondering if you asked them about the side effects of PrEP. And also, PrEP is a comprehensive package. It's not just taking a pill every day. They have to go to doctors every 3 months and get tested, get blood work done, to go through condom counseling, you know, all those things. Thank you.
So in terms of your first question, we did not ask HIV-positive people about their opinions. I think it's an interesting thing to consider for our future research. Our recruiters were HIV positive because they were at a hospital, they were part of the community group, although I'm not sure that the people whom they recruited knew that. In terms of, I completely agree that PrEP is, you know, more than just taking a pill or taking a shot. It's a, you know, I think it's going to work best if it's a package of interventions, including psychosocial support and things like that. We conducted interviews, qualitative interviews with our respondents as well, in which we did delve more deeply into questions of, you know, if on the occasion that you don't use a condom, why is that? And we talked at length about side effects, and we haven't analyzed that data yet, but it's certainly important to think about. My own thoughts on in terms of the use, particularly among women, of PrEP agents, it does appear that the use of condoms is not always the, you know, the choice of the woman. And so they have, you know, I think what people are saying about PrEP, particularly if they're intravaginal rings or gels or injectables that can be applied by the women themselves, that it may offer more control for women to make those choices themselves rather than having to rely on their partner or somehow convince their partners to use them. But I haven't done any research on that, so...
As you have seen, we were just trying to figure out the dimension of the eligible people. So in this particular, for this particular study, we didn't ask him, but we asked lots of pages of questions to these participants. And they all are offered, and usually they accept, most of them accept, a very, let's say, traditional counseling session by peer people, and some of peers are actually positive, so they can really express their own experience. But as you have seen, even among those enrolled in the cohort that have seen that went through all this process of counseling and testing and go there, the infection continues to appear among those that are probably the most protected, at least in general terms. So, of course, it's obviously a non-universal approach. It's very, very expensive. It's very difficult to convince maybe the Portuguese or other governments to pay for that. But the fact is that we need to balance between the price of prevention and the price of treating people, and then the price of the cost of something we cannot give a price, suffering, of course. I think you are right. I mean, obviously you are right. This is not a sweet pill, but it's maybe it will be a chance, at least for an intermediate period, when you get something better. Because condoms are not, in fact, used. That's reality. We love them.
That we are starting now, and the thing about the
new guy saying how much will it cost the governmental budget. I really think that it has to do with the political will changing the way we have been understanding part of our problems. But I think that one part that is very difficult to understand is on the legal framework, mainly because it's not easy to change nationally, for example. So there we will really have to work a lot if we want to change this reality. But I think the political will is walking on. I don't know how much it will do, but at least it starts to.
One of the limitations of this literature is that the authors of the studies typically do not describe any support for adherence, whether it's peer support or anything like that. They're basically just reporting the data. So if we're going to improve the field, we've got to get better data from people conducting the studies. We were able to check that none of the studies had co-located methadone treatment and ART treatment, so that to the extent that any of the patients might have been on methadone in addition to getting ART, it would have been at a separate location and they would have had to transport themselves back and forth, where if it had been, if you're doing it at the same location, it's much easier to get good adherence because the people are coming in for methadone almost every day and such. But again, the field is not really yet up to speed in terms of providing ART to start with and then providing support for ART. So I in fairness also to the field, we are seeing reductions in HIV incidence among people who inject drug pretty much worldwide. We're even starting to see it in Eastern Europe now. So that even with all of the problems of ART for people who use drugs, that epidemic is going better than other HIV epidemics.